Well, good to have everybody in church. Today's a fun day. We want you to feel inspired when you come to church. That's our big word for Sunday mornings, is that you'd feel inspired to live a life that Jesus has called you to live. To sort of see what he has done, to see what he is doing, to hear stories about what neighbors are doing in our neighborhood, and to worship with us in celebration. We want you to leave here feeling like, yeah, I think I can live a little bit differently than the way I came in. I think God would have me do a few things that I was maybe afraid to do before, or maybe unsure about before, and that God actually has a plan for your life, and he wants to do something special with you. And I just want to encourage you in that, and we hope that this entire time will be an encouraging time for you to experience Jesus and his life for you. We're in our fourth week of a series called Kingdom. The first week we talked about the four C's. The four C's of communicating the kingdom. And we sort of said the kingdom is not really something that should be communicated with judgment or hostility or coming at people and forcing it upon them. But we talked about the four C's that you can look online and find out. But Jesus communicated this favorite topic of his, the kingdom. He communicated it in a very gentle way most of the time. In a very loving way most of the time. When people came to him, he was usually very gentle with them in saying, listen, here's what the kingdom is. And it's hopeful and it's exciting and there's good news. And it's not bad news for where you are, but it's good news for where you can go in your life. So he communicated it well. So we talked about the four C's of the kingdom. The second one, we talked about being poor in spirit. That the kingdom belongs to those who know that they need a little bit of a spiritual boost. Know that they need a little more than what they have. Know that they need a little more than what's inside them already. They know that Jesus lives in them, but they need some more. Jesus said, those who are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom, because they know they need it. The next one, as we said, receive the kingdom like a little child. We talked about my daughter. This is a funny thing about being in a sort of small area. The Comox Valley is not a huge area, so we bump into people that we know often. And it's amazing how many people, Isabella was out in the community this week, how many people came up to her and said, how's your new bed? If you weren't here last week, that sounds weird, but go check online. But she would be wandering around and someone would say, hey, how's your bed? And so we may or may not recognize that person at the moment. It's like, excuse me, you're asking our daughter? No, no. Because Isabella got a new bed and that was the most exciting thing for her. She was just excited, passionate. I got a new bed. I told you she sung songs and she made new dances. And she was also so excited that people were asking her about the new bed, actually. She came running in the doors last week after Sunday. And I guess lots of people bumped into her after her Sunday school. And she came in here and said, Daddy, so many people know that I got a new bed. She was just excited about the bed that she got. Kids know how to receive things. We talked about that. And this week we're going to talk about seeds, the seeds of the kingdom. As I was looking through this, I was realizing when Jesus talks about poor in spirit, and then he talks about kids, and then he talks about seeds, I get the impression that Jesus has an idea that the kingdom sometimes starts small. The kingdom, sometimes we may not get the full picture right away. We may not always understand everything. And we may have just a really small beginning, but Jesus seems to be okay with that in the way that he communicates the kingdom. He says kids' minds can even understand it. They need to receive it as a kid. We need to receive it as a kid. And now he's going to talk about seeds, just seeds. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. This is one of the Gospels, speaks about Jesus. Jesus said, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Mustard seed. I brought a friend with me today. I named him this morning so that he wouldn't come without a name. His name is Basil the Basil Plant. And this is my, some of you are like, I can't see. It's a very small plant. Unfortunately, that's all my gardening skills have allowed me to grow so far. But this is the first year I've ever grown anything from seed. We went to something called Seedy Saturday. Has anyone been to that? in the valley. They trade seeds and give away seeds, and you can buy seeds. And so this was the very first time I had ever grown anything from seed. We don't do that in Victoria, I guess. No, I think we do. But here I am in the valley, and I thought, that's it. I'm in the valley. My family's farmers here in the valley. I'm going to grow something from seed. So my wife went to Seedy Saturday, and we had all of these seeds that we got back, kale and basil and parsley all. By the way, I chose the most impressive of all of those so far. So that says something about my gardening. But anyways, we got all of these seeds and we put them on the shelf, and they're in these little envelopes, and that's all they are to start out. Just little seeds and little envelopes sitting on the shelf. And I, being new to this whole thing, I sort of, for some reason, imagined that something might happen with those seeds even while they're on the shelf. I thought something might, like, if they're ever going to accomplish anything, they must accomplish it. Like, there must be something. I know they're not going to grow on the shelf, but there must be some kind of change that takes place. But I'd go and shake them, and they're still the exact same thing. There's nothing changed about the seeds. If they sit on the shelf, nothing changes about them. They just sit. And they do nothing in the envelope that we got them in. It wasn't until I grabbed those seeds, and I'm a terrible gardener. I've learned a lot this year. But I would pour out, and because they weren't all that great on the shelf, I thought they're probably dead. You know, they're probably not good. So I poured, like, you're supposed to put one or maybe two seeds in each little pot, and I put like 30. You know, I put a nice coating across every pot, and then poured a little dirt, and I thought, okay, if anything's going to work, then this is how it's going to work. And so I got about 30 plants out of every one of those little plots, and then I had to pull them apart and put it in. This has been transferred 3 times just to get to this size pot, because I pull it apart and put it in the next tiny little one, because I just had no hope for this thing. I didn't think much was going to happen with these little seeds that seemed to do nothing on the shelf. But now I have high hopes. Anyone else have high hopes for this basil? I'm going to, maybe someone's going to get to be lucky enough to come over and have that with some tomatoes and bocconcini cheese. Whoa. People like that idea. But seeds on the shelf do nothing. The potential is in the planting. When seeds get planted in the dirt, when seeds do something, all of a sudden they can become of value. All of a sudden there's some potential with them. All of a sudden when seeds get off the shelf, it's still the exact same seed, and gets put in the dirt, it's still the exact same seed, and dirt gets put on top of it, it's still the exact same seed. Something happens then. There's potential in the planting. And sometimes I think we have gotten to a place where we think that because I have such a small amount of faith, or because I don't have this massive tree of faith, or I don't have a mountain of faith, or I'm not a huge person of faith, my faith must not be worth anything. So I'll just put it up on the shelf and keep it for if I ever need to pull it out. I'll just stick it up there. I've compared to people myself at different times. You see people who a prayer meeting happens and they show up and they're just ready to pray. They have all the right words. They can say all the great things. They know everything to say. And then there's someone else who's encouraging every single person. And you walk in and you feel encouraged. And then they go to the next person. They have something nice. Someone else who's prophetic. And they seem to have this understanding that you don't have. And someone else who's wise. And they just always seem to have the right words and always seem to be doing the right thing. Someone else who's an evangelist and can go out into the streets and seem to talk to anyone about anything. Thing and teach them about Jesus when they didn't have any interest in learning about Him. There's all these people who are so capable, and we can look around. Those guys have mountains of faith. Those guys are like a mustard tree of faith. All I have is a little mustard seed. So it must not be worth anything. I'll put it on the shelf. Unless I have a tree, it's not worth anything. If I only have a seed of faith, it's not worth anything, because that's not going to accomplish anything. And it won't until it's planted. And it won't until it's taken off the shelf and used. It won't until it lands in something. The potential is in the planting. I want to do something that I've never done for a sermon. And while I was preparing this sermon the other day, I was sitting there thinking about seeds and trees, and I all of a sudden my mind started wandering, and I started imagining myself being a seed. And I was looking up as a seed at a tree and thinking, I wish I could be that tree, but I can't. I'm just a seed. It's all I am. I'm just a seed, and I can't be a tree. And I thought, I can't communicate that very well to a church unless I write a poem. So I've written a poem for the first time ever for a sermon, and I'm going to read it to you. And that poem, we also printed on bookmarks, and you can take it with you when you go. So here we go. Get your snapping fingers ready. I'm not a tree, so I'll never be, said the saddened little seed, as he looked at what he's not and wondered why he'd never be. If only I was 10 feet tall, with bark so thick and fears so small, then I would be something great, no longer disappoint them all. I wonder what it takes to be a great, big, strong, and mighty tree that gets to sway up in the wind and gets to dance so carelessly. But I'm not a tree, so I'll never be. I guess it's just not for me. Look at all these things I'm not. I'm not a tree, so I'll never be. But then a voice came to his ear, a booming voice anyone could hear. The voice was calming but direct. It wasn't far, it was very near. Plant yourself, you little seed, said the strong and mighty tree. For if you want to look like me, you see why I couldn't communicate this any other way? Would have just been awkward. It might still be, I'm not sure, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling okay. For if you want to look like me, you need to learn to be a seed. For the most mighty of the trees could not exist without the seeds. But if they will not dig down deep, little seeds they'll always be. You're not made to be a seed. That's not your final destiny. You will do mighty things. Just be patient. You will see. And if you want to reach up high, sway in the wind and touch the sky, plant yourself beneath the ground until the Lord says that it's time. Trust me, you will be a tree, but only if you're first a seed, and do the things that seeds should do, and he'll make something great of you. That is... Well, sometimes we're... No. That was, what are we doing right now? Well, we have fun. I'm glad we have fun at least. I was hoping for more laughs during the time, so we could have been more funny and things. But anyways, I hope it means something to you. Anyways, the seed, the reality is sometimes we think if we just have this little bit of faith, then I must not be worth anything, because some people have a whole lot of faith. But here we see that if we looked at a seed on a shelf, let's pretend we're talking to a seed on a shelf, and I said to my seed, you will never be anything because you're not a tree. We wouldn't understand biology. We wouldn't understand everything. Every tree had to start from a seed. And so sometimes we think that if I would be successful in faith, I would look like a mighty tree. I would be able to have all of these things. And we say, Jesus, make me so faithful. Make me like that other person. Make me so smart. Make me so confident. Make me have so much wisdom. Make me a great worshiper. Make me in the right mood all the time. And we just say, this is what I want to be. And I think Jesus sometimes says, hey, just be a seed. Let the seed grow in you. Just do what I've already asked of you. Just plant yourself with what you already have and watch how it grows. God's given each of us some kind of seed in our life. That seed might look like an opportunity. It might be someone in our life who we know is discouraged, and the seed is we just need to be encouraging. We say, yeah, but I need some kind of great faith. Can I heal them? Can I come on a cloud? Could I show up on a cloud and then they'd know that I'm from God, and then the words that I say would really stick? And you know, I think Jesus said, no. The seed of the kingdom is in you to just go and say an encouraging word. And watch what happens. Watch how it grows. Watch what happens when that seed gets off the shelf and you say, I'm going to do with this seed what's supposed to be done with this seed. God has given us all little things in every single one of us that we can accomplish, that we can do, that we can carry out. And when we carry those out, that's when our faith starts to grow. That's when the kingdom in us starts to grow. It's not when we say, Jesus, I need more kingdom. Because he says, I've given you all that you need to do all that I've asked of you. And as you just do that, I will grow your faith and I will do greater things. When you're faithful with the little things, the Bible says, then you will be given more. When you're faithful with just the small things. Some people, it's just raising your kids right now. You say, oh, look at all these people with all the time they have and all the things that they get to do and all the prayer meetings they get to go to. What am I supposed to do? I'm stuck at home raising kids. And Jesus says, yeah, do that faithfully. And as you do, I will give you more. Maybe it's a job. You say, oh, I wish I wasn't at this job. It's so discouraging. Look at all these people around. They don't get me. They don't go to church. They don't do the things. Yeah, but look it. I've given them to you. Do faithfully with them what I have asked you to do. And as you do, that's planting the seed. And all of a sudden, you can watch your faith grow. Do with the seed what you're supposed to do with the seed, and I'll take care of growing it into a tree. There's this time when Jesus is chatting with his disciples again in Luke, another one of the Gospels speaking about Jesus. In Luke 17, 1 to 10, it's this interesting conversation. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And then here's the disciples' response. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Say, okay, we're going to need more faith, Jesus. Jesus just said, hey, if someone has hurt you seven times today, but they've come back to you and said seven times, I'm sorry, forgive them. Forgive them seven times, every single time. Do that. And they say, we're going to need some more faith, Jesus. Because I don't know if you know this, but that's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. That's going to be challenging for us to do that. So you better give us more faith. I think sometimes as Christians, we fade back into that place where we say, something is going to be challenging, so Lord, I'll wait until you give me enough faith that it's no longer challenging. I'll wait until you give me enough faith that it doesn't seem difficult anymore. I'll wait until you've taken all of my bitterness away, or you've taken all of my fear, or you've taken all of my you've cleared my schedule somehow miraculously, or you've set everything up a certain way. I'll wait until that point, and then I promise that I'll do it. You just have to do a few more things. Jesus, give me the faith. Let me see what you're doing. I'll tell you, faith doesn't grow when we want to do more than we can imagine. It grows when we're doing more than we can imagine. Sometimes we sit here and wait, Jesus, I want to do more, but you have to make the way. You have to do it. And I think Jesus is sometimes looking back at us saying, wait a second, just go do it and I'll meet you. Just go do it and I'll be with you. Just go do it and I'll go before you. I've already gone there, actually. Just go do it. And so here's what he responds to the disciples when they said, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. He says, oh, you don't need more faith. All you need is a mustard seed, which he said is the smallest seed. You just need this tiny little seed, and you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever I've called you to with the tiniest little seed. You don't even have a tiny little seed, he says. See, sometimes us Christians, what we do is we look at that verse and we say, oh, I know what that means. I'm going to go and pray and something wild is going to happen. I remember literally being a kid, going to church, reading this verse and looking at a mountain. Another scripture says you can move that mountain into the sea. I remember looking at the mountain saying, okay, I think I have at least a mustard seed of faith in here. So I know I can do it. Move, mountain. Hey, move, move, you know, come on, get going, mountain. Why isn't the mountain moving? Why isn't it going? Why isn't it landing in the sea? The Bible says I can do that, but Jesus here isn't saying, hey, I want to tell you something. And you can pray for things and crazy things are going to happen. He's saying, I've called you to some things. Stop praying for faith to do them and just do them because I'm going to meet you. Stop praying that God, would you make me into a different person so that I can carry out those things, because there's other people who could do those things and I don't think I can. And Jesus says, yes, you can. All you need is a mustard seed to carry out what I've called you to do. All you need is a mustard seed to do what I've asked you to do. I remember someone who I know quite well telling me one of their big regrets in faith. And there was someone who had been, one of our mutual friends had been in an accident and broken both his legs, and some serious things had happened. And my friend said, I remember one time God clearly saying to me, I needed to go pray for healing for that person. And I thought, oh, what happened? Like, what? Tell me about where it went. What'd you do? And this friend said, well, I didn't end up doing anything. Because I remember thinking that I should, and God, I remember thinking that He had told me, but I'm not like that. There's other people who do that better. There's other people who heal people better. There's other people who have more faith than me, and they should go and do that. But this person had gotten to a place of regretting that feeling. Because we look around and see trees of faith, and we will never have mighty faith if we're not okay having little seeds of faith and just doing what God has already put in front of us. Being faithful in the little things, doing what God has already given to us, allowing God to encourage people through us, allowing God to start things through us. Sometimes we look around, I think I probably think big picture too often and forget to remind us that small starts are okay, because Jesus is when He's in those, He can do things, He can move things along faster than we ever could anyways. And so sometimes when I pray for the Comox Valley, and I say, I want the whole Comox Valley to come to know you, Jesus. I want to see revival sweep through this land. I think that's a good prayer. But sometimes what we do then is we pray, so Lord, give us the faith to see it. And I think sometimes Jesus will be looking back and say, okay, if you want revival to sweep through this land, I want to know what you're doing for that coworker of yours. Don't talk just about what's going to happen big picture. What about that neighbor that seems to bug you sometimes? What about that spouse that you can't seem to get along with? Do you want revival to take place while your marriage just falls apart? What if Jesus says, I want to be in your marriage? I want to restore the relationship between you and your kids. That's going to be revival for me. I want to see your coworkers know the life and love of Jesus Christ. I want to see your friend circles that you usually don't talk about me at all. I want to see those people start to talk about me, start to hear some things. Imagine if we had all of our friends, we never talk about Jesus, and then we go home and pray, Jesus, bring revival in this land. Jesus doesn't want that. He's not looking for that because He cares about you. And me. He cares about the individual. He says, I want revival in the land, but I want to see revival in your heart. There's this one story of a guy coming up to a revivalist and saying, hey, what do we need to do to bring about revival? And this guy said, okay, go home, draw a circle on the ground, stand in that circle, and pray for everyone in that circle that they would experience revival. I sort of think Jesus might have that in mind for some of us, probably for all of us. We don't need to, like, if all of us, imagine if all of us, each one of us decided, I'm going to go, Jesus has put something on my heart. There's someone who I need to encourage. There's someone who I need to forgive. There's someone who I need to apologize to. There's someone who I need to pray for. There's someone who I need to have a conversation with that I've been running from. Maybe it's an action that you need to stop doing, or a habit that you need to start doing. You know, God would put something in your heart, and that's the seed. What you do with that seed determines whether it grows or not. You can say, oh, that conversation's for someone else, and slip your seed up on the shelf and make it useless for anything in your life. Or you can plant that thing. Be obedient in the small ways. Though they may be scary, though they may be overwhelming, though they may seem out of character for you, be obedient in the small ways and watch how God might want to grow you and grow a tree of faith out of your life. The kingdom starts small in us. but it grows. And Jesus says that when it grows and becomes a mustard tree in the garden, all of a sudden the birds of the air find rest in it. The other animals come and find shelter and find hope in there, find what they need in there. When your faith grows, it's not about you looking big. It's not about our church looking big. It's not about our, anything else. It's about us giving a place for other people to find the kingdom more easily. And won't that be a special time for us? Won't that be an exciting time for us? Worship team, you can come on and take communion. It's Communion Sunday today. So Pastor George and Jessica are going to come over here, and the communion team will take communion and then come lead us through communion as well. I had, when I was a fairly young guy, slightly more hair than I have now, I went to this church. It was the church that I was working at before I came to this church. And I think I told you I tried to be a youth leader, and they said no to me at that time. And so I didn't know what I was going to do in that church. I didn't know what the plan was. But I just decided that I would seek God. Lord, what do you want me to do in this church? And I felt pretty clearly God answer me in a certain way. And I had preached at places before. I had done some things before. I had had some opportunities in the past. But I felt God say to me this one thing. I want you to encourage Pastor Andy, that was my pastor there, every single time after he preaches. So he would get up and speak, and every single time I would walk up to him and I would have picked, doesn't mean it was the best sermon, I would pick something out of that sermon. Every time. I say, I loved this. I loved how you brought that together for me. I loved how you made this clearer. I loved how you spoke that thing. You are being faithful. You are. And I would speak into his life every single time. I never said a negative word to him. I would sometimes say, I loved how you did this, and I've also thought of this. Isn't that great? And we'd have conversations. And at that time, that seemed like a pretty small thing. Seemed like I wasn't really doing much, but I felt that's what God had asked me to do. Some of us feel like God's asked us of such a small thing that it must not really matter if I do it or not. And so we just shelf that thing and say, I'm not going to worry about that one. Maybe for you it's this tiny thing. Seems tiny for you. Maybe for you it's just taking a step and saying, I'm going to trust Jesus again. Maybe it's just saying, I'm going to trust my family again, my friends again. I'm going to trust people again. But I would encourage this pastor every single time after he preached. I'd catch him. He'd be walking out the door. I'd grab him, say, hey, I have something to say to you. Well, soon down the road, a few years, I actually did this for a few years before anything happened. Sort of like what's going on with this basil plant. Not much happened in there. A few years, nothing really happened. And then about a couple of years in, he was going away. He said, Evan, would you like to preach for me while I'm gone? And it was a growing, about 250-person young adults group, of which I was one of the younger. And I said, so have you heard me preach? He said, no. I said, you don't know anything about my preaching. Well, I'm asking him. I'm trying to help him. Like, you shouldn't do this. Sounds like a bad idea. And I said, what are you going to do? You haven't heard me preach. Why would you have me come and preach? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if I should do that. He says, no, I'm going to have you come and you preach. Will you preach? I said, I guess so. And so I preached. Way beyond what I thought I could do. Way more than I thought I was capable of at that time. I didn't know what I was thinking. And sometimes we pray, like, if I would have dreamt of what I would be doing in ministry, that might have been it. And if I would have prayed, I might have said, God, give me a platform. Let me speak. Let me get up there and say something, because I probably have something to say. But he didn't ask me to do that. Instead, he said, I want you to encourage that pastor. Every time. And so I'd go to church. Sometimes I barely got anything out of the message, and I'd tell him I loved it. It was incredible. I don't think I was lying. I was just trying to encourage him. That was my job at that time. That felt like my only job at that time. And all of a sudden, I'm thrust into this place where I was doing something way beyond my pay grade, way beyond my age, way beyond who I was, way beyond what I had experienced. Now I'm preaching to this crowd. And that started something. He'd get me every single time he went away. I'd be preaching to these people. I'm thinking, why am I here again? I can't believe that I'm here. That doesn't make sense. And that led to me being the youth pastor there. That led to me being the associate pastor there. That led to me being the lead pastor here. Encouragement. That's a small seed. That's a really small seed. That doesn't seem to mean much. What is God calling you to be faithful in right now? Don't think about the big thing, I need more faith. Jesus said, no, you just need a mustard seed. So step into it. You have mustard seeds on the shelf, pull them out and do something with them. Who knows where that small seed could lead? I should add that to my poem. I just know that there are people here who feel like, yeah, I did have some dreams, or God did tell me to start something and I didn't do much with it. Or I have been sitting here waiting for God to make me more of something so that I can do it. Jesus said, no, you go, because I have given you a mustard seed, and that's all you need to move a mountain, to move a mulberry tree into the sea. You do not need more faith. You need more action. You need more stepping into what God has already called you to. And as you do, watch how it grows. It's incredible how it grows. So why don't we just all close our eyes for a moment. I'd like to pray for you. Some of you today are saying, I need to make a decision for Jesus. Jesus has a plan for you, and he gives it to you when you decide to live for him. If today you say, I need to just follow this Jesus, because I think I'm supposed to do something in my life, but I don't know what it is. I want to hear from him. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear what he has to say to me. I want to hear what he has to say about me. I want to do what he's called me to do. I want to grow, but I can't seem to grow. If that's you and you're saying, I just have this hunger and this interest in my life to get to know that one who would speak to me and who would put potential into my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, because I want to be able to pray for you. Yeah, I see you. I want to pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you too. I'll pray for you. If you raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Certainly, you can lower your hand when I'll pray for you as well. I'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Hey, you have a plan and purpose for every person in this room. God, I pray that we wouldn't take our minds to some place where we think, I'm not a big enough person, or I don't have a big enough faith, or I haven't come from a great enough of a family. But today, Jesus, would you remind in these hearts that you want to plant purpose in their life, that you knew them before they were born, that you knit them together in their mother's womb, and that you're watching out for them, and that you're now calling them in this place to a new life, a new purpose, a new joy, a new passion, a new excitement. And Jesus, I thank you that it starts small, because they can achieve it today. Thank you that you haven't put a plan in their life that they can't achieve so that they might fail, but you've said, here's something you can be successful at. Do it. Jesus, make world changers out of these four who have said, I want to follow Jesus with my life. World changers, not because they dream for the whole world, but because they obey you in every small thing that you ask them to do. Lord, for the rest of us, I just pray that you would meet us today in a place where we would be before you saying, Lord, what is it that I'm missing even right now? Jesus, for those who feel like they haven't grown in a while, and they're sitting at home, they go home every day and pray, Lord, I want to grow, I want more faith, I want more faith. Jesus, I pray that you'd remind them of what you've already called them to, and that they have enough faith for it. They have what they need for it. It's just time to walk into it and see what God does. Because when our faith won't grow when we sit and wait for you to make us ready to do what you've called us to do, but it'll grow when we're doing what we never thought we could accomplish. Because you are in it. Let that be an inspiring message for each of us today, Lord. For every mother who's trying to raise kids. For every parent who's trying to walk with their rebellious child. For every person who's trying to get out of addiction, trying to climb out of addiction. Or for every child who's trying to be an influence at their school. Thank you. Jesus, for every grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and great-grandpa in the room who are trying to make an investment into their kids. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't look at all things, but instead we would see exactly what you've called us to and be faithful in the little. Jesus, we expect more. We expect you to give us more. We expect greater things, but not because we just deserve them now, but because we've been faithful in the little. I pray, Jesus, I do pray for the Comox Valley, that your revival power would sweep across this land and that you would come into every home, every family, every office, every employment, place of employment, Jesus, I pray that you would come. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just sit and pray about that and then do nothing about what you've called us to in the little. Let us be faithful in the little, Jesus. Thank you that each of us has a mustard seed in us. You're not asking us to have mustard trees, but plant the mustard seeds you've given us. Thank you that the kingdom can start small in us, and we can expect great and incredible things to come from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.